You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Welcome back to the dance version of the Roto Experts in the Morning with the fantasy executive Corey Parson and the King Scott Angle. And let me ask you a question. I'm not there in the studio with the guys, so I got to ask the fantasy executive. Does the King still get up and dance really close to you and gyrate and stick his tongue out?
No, he wasn't. He was dancing. He was grooving in the seat to that jam right now, so he didn't get up. He didn't get up tone. He was just grooving in the seat. But he definitely was moving right along to the beat, though. The King still got his moves.
Yes, I do. And when I'm not dancing, I'm putting out my in-season ranks on the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package on rotoexperts.com. You can now check out my in-season ranks for waivers and trade advice. Enter free radio checkup for special discount. And now that the price has been slashed, you can get the exclusive Edge package for the rest of the season for under $10 with the promo code.
Do you feel like when you put it under $10, you feel like you're like a lady of an evening and you're just giving it away?
No, because you still get a great return. I think even
no, I know the people are getting a great return, but yeah, I feel like you're being violated.
It's about the people. Away. I'm not being violated, you know, nothing is happening to me physically.
All right, so you're a man of the people, the King Scott Angle.
I believe I always have been.
And he is the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, another man of the people. And he asks you, please do not message him on Facebook. He has to go and read that stuff. As the day after the election, he is being tormented by obscure people in the Facebook community. Why is this such
that also speaks
negativity?
To who he is, though. I mean, he's gained enough of a following that he's got random people, you know, blasting him.
Yeah, here we go, 3:06 a.m., and this has came in my other inbox. This is amazing. As soon as Donald Trump is named president of the United States, he gives a speech. His tone said, first you lose your job at SiriusXM, now you lose the election. I'm not Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, that's
good for you. Good for you. Good thing at least the Cowboys are winning. You're a hater, followed by three middle fingers. So there you go right there. Make America great again.
That is the craziest thing. Like, this guy has to be. Now, is this a guy that works in the industry, or is he just a listener?
He's a listener. Yeah, he's a listener. I did some investigation on him. So he has some similar friends. Well, I seen one of our I seen the evening host from SiriusXM is one of his friends also. So.
Yeah. So he pays $18 a month to torment you.
I know, right?
For the guy that sent the message to Corey, welcome to Fantasy Sports Radio Network, where it's absolutely free, and you can torment Corey anytime for free now there and go at it that way. Corey, I got to ask a question.
Yep.
We were talking about guys and the projections, of course, dead wrong last night. Donald Trump comes in, destroys Hillary Clinton in the election last night. And then we're going back to our fantasy rankings and say, hey, are the same guys that put projections in the fantasy football community, the same guys that are doing polls in the election results? And I got to ask you about a guy. He's not a negative by any stretch of the imagination. Why didn't we have Mike Evans higher in fantasy rankings?
Now, I think this was one right here, Tony, and I think I was on the right side of this one. Maybe in about the latter part of September, just going through the numbers and doing some research and stuff, I started to pull Mike Evans up draft boards. I started taking Mike Evans about that 6-7 range overall. I was taking I still was going D-Hop. I still was going A.J. Green. But I had pulled Mike Evans up the boards about that 5-6 range. A lot of my teams that are doing very well right now, I got three teams that are doing well that's in position to win some good money, and Mike Evans are on all three of those teams. So I think, like I said, I'm in on Jameis Winston. If you're in on Jameis Winston, you're in on Mike Evans. The targets, the yards, the receptions, the catches, the whole things, dynamic athletic talent. Last season, the only drop-off was the touchdowns. So you got to figure if the touchdown numbers go back up this year, you're looking at a top-five fantasy wideout, and that's definitely what we're getting with Mike Evans, who is out of the concussion protocol, ready to rock and roll. So, Mike Evans, I'm rolling with you, baby. Take me to the money.
Mike Evans. Scotty, what about your thoughts? Why wasn't Mike Evans thought higher from fantasy experts? This is a guy that was the only weapon, really, in that passing game in Tampa. A lot of people look at Vincent Jackson as older, a guy past his prime. What's your thoughts? Why wasn't he a guy that people counted on earlier in drafts?
I had him going, like, the end of the first round, like that 10-11 sort of range. I actually want to pull up my preseason ranks here, and I did a guide to the first round on rotoexperts.com, and we can even, like, you know, touch on that at some point. But I think the lack of touchdowns last year, the drops, and not everybody trusted Jameis Winston.
Yeah,
I don't see what it was not to trust about Jameis Winston, though. Maybe I'm just higher on Jameis Winston than everybody else is. Is that what it is? I absolutely.
Are you still high on him right now?
Yes, I love Jameis Winston. I love him. I don't
care. I don't think Tony's too high on him.
I don't care what kind of numbers that you read me on Jameis Winston. I'm looking at the Scott Engel intangibles, and I see a quarterback that's on the rise, on his way up, and I'm starting him in some leagues every single week. Regardless of matchup.
You say on the way up, though. How is he on the way up? Like, he had a great game against the Atlanta Falcons in week one, and he had a great week against them in week nine. And in between there, it was rocky.
He had the big game against the Rams, and also a good game against Oakland and San Francisco, which are very poor defenses. But I just think that, I mean, he's got 17 touchdown passes on the year. I really don't care about the interceptions from a fantasy perspective. I think his helter-skelter nature of play is what I really do kind of like about him. I think he's fearless, not afraid to throw the football up. I mean, he's had three games with at least three touchdown passes. I think he's in play every week. I'm trying to figure out where he is on the season right now. I think he's just inside the top 12. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. He's 14 right now, so that's right outside the top 12. But I'm a Jameis Winston supporter, Tone.
Yeah, the problem I have with him is the same problem I have with is the completion percentage in a lot of instances at 59%. So it shows a little bit of erratic play.
Yep.
You talk about the interceptions. In today's NFL, you know, if you throw enough touchdown passes there. But I thought it was a reach to draft Jameis Winston, actually, as a quarterback one or a guy that you could count on there. And the reason being, he had 24 touchdown passes last year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he did have some rushing touchdowns, so you want to give him credit for that. But he had 24 touchdown passes. To be a good quarterback, I'm not even saying great. I'm not saying at the top, the Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady. You need 34 is the number you need, at least 34. And I thought 10 touchdowns for a second, for a guy, you know, a second-year quarterback was a lot. I thought it was too much to ask for.
Okay, I can dig that. Right now, 17 catching touchdowns. I guess you could say we're at the halfway point. So that 34 number is kind of in play.
It's in reach.
It's in reach for Winston. We didn't see the rushing that we saw last year. Last year, I think we saw four or five rushing, right, Tone? This year, we haven't seen the rushing yet, only one rushing touchdown. But I just look at an offense that's kind of set up for him. He's going to throw the football. I don't want to compare him to Blake Bortles, but sometimes it's not going to be pretty. He's always going to start the game with two or three interceptions. You're going to get that first quarter pick because of his erratic play, but I think when he can throw the touchdowns in bunches like this, it makes me comfortable with him. Let me ask you fellas this.
Do you think you could start him every week the rest of the way and be comfortable with it?
I think I can. Even though he's not inside that top 12.
I don't know if I could quite do it yet.
So let's say you're Andy Dalton, you had your quarterbacks at Jameis Winston and Andy Dalton.
I'm streaming.
You're streaming?
Yeah.
What about you, Tone?
I'm streaming as well. I'm streaming. I think Andy Dalton's actually underrated a lot of times.
Definitely play Winston circles. When he faces the Falcons, that's for sure.
Well, you play everybody against the Falcons.
Yeah. I'm saying he's already proven he can take advantage of a good matchup, and that's the first step into being a better fantasy quarterback.
Excellent analysis by the King, Scott Engel.
Do you think that is the whole thing with the King? Like, Mike Florio, let me ask you a question, Mike
he's
Florio.
He's calling you there? Florio. Mike Florio's over at the computer, hard working Mike Florio. Mike Florio is a much better producer than I was.
That's what the guy on Facebook said.
Yeah, exactly.
Mike Florio, let me ask you a question. You're hot at work. What were you doing over there that you pretending you were working.
I am putting hour one of Roto Experts in the Morning on demand for those who unfortunately missed it.
All right. Well, I got a quick question for you before we let you go. I got to ask you, what's your thoughts as far as guys you would most want to emulate? Because you look at Hillary Clinton, and she didn't have a person that she emulated in her run. And Donald Trump is in his own there. But you've worked around now the Fantasy Sports Radio Network for a while, and you've been a guy that wrote for FanDuel. You write in the New York Daily News. You're very successful at a young age.
Thank you.
But who is the one guy in the industry you're trying to patent your game after?
I don't know if it's just like one person. I guess working with all you guys here, like I kind of take some stuff away from each of you. I don't think there's one person I would try and like emulate.
Look, this is Donald Trump's America now. Politically correct ain't going to work no more. You better pick somebody.
I don't think there is like one specific person though.
I mean, Frank Stanfill came in here and said, I want to be Nando DeVito. And that's your boy. You guys do everything together. So if Frank's does it, you got to do it.
I was a big fan of Nando back in the day. I used to listen to his podcast and stuff.
How old are you?
I am 25.
There's no back in the day.
Well, like when I was in college, I listened to a lot of his work and read all his articles and stuff. So I've been following him for
a pretty
long time.
How many years ago was that?
Like 8.
Yeah, that's not really back in the day, but I get the
back
point.
In the day
yeah.
for me.
Yeah, there's no back in the day for you, unless you want to talk about when you were diapers.
Yeah, for the listening audience, Mike Florio and Frank Stanfill did one of the most uncomfortable things that I've ever seen.
I know exactly what he's talking about.
Well, what's that?
So we were at the Christmas party for the Anthem Media Christmas party, which was held at the Greenwich Street Tavern, and we were there pretty late. And all of a sudden, Stanfill and Florio, they're enjoying themselves, and they are really in love with Nando DeVito because they used to listen to him back in the day, like you said, and they really wanted to be Nando DeVito. So they go up to Nando DeVito's wife and says, wow, you're married to Nando DeVito? You're the luckiest girl in the world. Wow. Now, fantasy executive.
How crazy is that?
I don't know who's that's more awkward for. Is that more awkward for Frank and Mike? Nando's wife, Nando.
I don't know. So many levels.
Yeah. That got pretty deep just now. You know what I'm saying? I remember we were at some fantasy event, and this guy, he just kept smiling at me and smiling at me. You know what I'm saying? So finally.
I know who that was.
His girlfriend.
Did he used to work at SiriusXM?
Oh, stop it. Yeah. Nah. His girlfriend walks over to me and is like, oh, my boyfriend's a very big fan of yours. He wants to come over and say hello. I'm like, really? Like, you know what I'm saying? He sent you over here to speak to me? He must not know. Are you a fan of mine too, young lady?
Yeah, so it was Tommy G.
Oh, wow, that's a very awkward situation. How many drinks did you have in you at that time, Florio?
Oh, quite a few.
Okay, very good.
We were joking around, though, but it was pretty funny.
Yeah,
Tony was in complete shock.
I was at the end of the bar, like, and I'm watching this, and I'm like, maybe I didn't hear it right.
Right? And then she comes over, and she tells me exactly what happened. And I'm like, you know what? I was watching that whole thing, and I really didn't believe it. Like, I saw it with my own eyes, but I didn't believe that's exactly what they said to you.
Florio, that was amazing. So you do some good things there, but... you know, it's interesting. He didn't answer the question, though. That's the
no,
other
he
thing.
Didn't.
If you're the producer and you have a host with a reputation as such as myself, you should probably answer the questions I ask you.
Yeah, because he has a reputation like frying you if you don't do what he likes.
You can't pick one
from
person.
From now on,
in this
it's going to be
industry.
Like when somebody doesn't answer a question directly, it's going to be like, what are you, Mike Florio? Answer the goddamn question. You just put yourself in a hole reputation-wise. You got one last chance to save
yourself.
You want
to emulate in this whole industry? I mean, if you don't have one person, I think you're not paying attention.
You know what? I have to ask Tony.
Shouldn't you want to be your own person? Isn't that the way to stand out? When there's...
Yeah, that's a politically correct answer, too.
That's a good answer, though.
But, Tony, I have to ask you. Maybe you can shine some light on this. Hearing how Mike Florio is being politically correct, does he remind you of anybody existing in the fantasy industry?
Oh, yeah. You know what's crazy? He is actually maybe going in the road of Nando DeVito. He's a very likable guy.
Yes.
He always smiling.
Happy.
He never has a bad word to say about anyone, despite the pressures of this job. He could be Nando DeFino in the making. What do you think, fantasy executive?
Wait, one thing though. How do you feel about Fozzie Whitaker now, Mike?
I mean, hey, if I could be Nando, like if I could reach the level that he has, I'll gladly take that.
I would do that too. What's your thoughts? Is he a future Nando DeFino?
Oh, he's very talented. He's very talented young man.
Or is he more like Evan Tarricciano?
No, he's not. No, he's not Evan Tarricciano.
Future waiter.
He's not Evan Tarricciano. I'll tell you what. I'm not going to diss Evan Tarricciano. I will leave him alone.
I will say things have improved for our young men out here who need role models. You know, with the switch that we've made on this staff, like in terms of like outside the fantasy analyst box, you know, and learning life lessons, I think being around Corey will improve things.
Oh, no. Hey, yeah. Scott, let me tell you something. I'm not much better than the last guy that sat here.
It didn't get much worse than that. But you don't make it like during the breaks, you broadcast it and push it.
I'm just trying to do my thing, make a couple of dollars to take
you
care
do
of
your
these
thing
children.
On the, you do your thing on the download with your roommate. You know,
But I think Florio is very, very talented young man, and you know what I mean? So I think he has a bright future ahead of him, as long as he can keep his nose clean, you know what I'm saying? And I don't think Florio is the type to get in trouble, so I think he can be the next Matthew Berry.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Aspirations. That's big aspirations. Well, good luck to you there, Mike.
He's going to have an agent, Mike.
Thank
Florio.
You.
He's going to – coming up next, of course, we're going to talk to the fantasy doctor at 840. I'm looking forward to the fantasy doctor at 840, Scott. He's a guy that says nothing but great things about you.
Yeah, Dr. A from InsideInjuries.com. Check out that new article on RotoExperts.com this morning. Everybody's been asking this, Tony. Virginia Zakis of Inside Injuries actually lays out why Jimmy Graham has been able to recover so quickly from that knee injury and reclaim his past form.
Yeah, the fantasy executive was asking that, and I don't think anyone's telling us the truth. I think that there could have been some stem cells involved in this and some illegal things that went on that are not allowed in the United States. I have no other explanation. I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, I definitely got it. I definitely want to hear this because I understand that we make advances in medicine, but this guy jumped over another player. You know what I'm saying? And less than a year ago, he had like the worst injury that you can have as a professional football player. And a year later, he's jumping over another player on the NFL field. This is absolutely baffling to me.
Yes, hit the X button on Madden. Whoop.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah. it was like a very Madden 17 like a play, you know, like the way he leaped over the defensive back and hurdled him.
Yeah. We're talking about the projections last night. Of course, wrong in the community of the political nature. The 45th president of the United States will be Donald Trump, not Hillary Clinton, for all the people that, you know, might have had a sneeze during the night and missed that epic topic. And don't worry, you didn't miss Hillary Clinton's concession speech. You didn't miss her thanking her workers. She hasn't done it yet. She's resting. So she'll be out there soon.
Tone, this lady is going to be running for president until she is 100 years old. This is unbelievable. She cannot get over the hump. Do you think it's time for her to say, you know what, me and Bill, we're going to go up to someplace, sit by the water, and just chill, Chelsea, the grandkids, stuff like that? Or do you think this woman 2 years from now is going to trot out that pantsuit, you know what I'm saying, and come back for round three?
I think she's going to go, and she's going to do GoDaddy commercials and basically make fun of her email accounts and stick it in the faces of Americans.
Wow. So you think she can possibly come back out there?
She's never going to run. She can't run. You just lost. First, I hate to put it in perspective, but
go ahead.
I did it this morning. I didn't want to say this out loud, but I'm going to say it out loud. We have never had a black president before she ran who had no real political, like no one thought this guy could be president of the United States.
He was sitting there for 2 years.
And her husband was the president of the United States. And she lost to him.
Mm-hmm.
Then she went and ran against a guy that never held any political office, who basically got caught on tape talking about grabbing girls' anatomies. He told the Mexicans he's building a wall, they're paying for it. He says they're rapists and everything else. And she couldn't beat him.
She couldn't beat
him. Who the hell is she going to beat?
Not only could she not beat him, she got punished last night.
John Mayer calls the guy Orange Hitler. And she lost him.
This lady needs to give it up. She needs to give it
right?
up. It's time for her to, you know what? It's time for the Clintons to go off into the sunset.
I've had three women text me today.
Because he's a fan of this team, but I really feel like Hillary's like the Buffalo Bills of politics.
I had three women text me today. So women didn't go in the election booth, and they did not select Hillary Clinton. Like, no, I had three women said, thank God. Yeah, like, they hate her. Women are vengeful. They don't like each other.
I think that's the biggest takeaway, Tone.
I didn't think about it like that, right? Like, I think a lot of them thought that that's not the woman we want. And we brought this up a little bit yesterday.
I think it depends on what woman you talk to, though.
No, here's the way I looked at it, is that I brought it up a little yesterday, but I didn't go hard on it because I wasn't sure. I really think that women, in the end, that wanted to vote for a woman, didn't want that to be the woman that was representing her as the first president of the United States as a female.
Did the exit polls show otherwise, though?
Now, the exit polls showed things all over the place. It was the craziest thing ever because no one admitted to voting for Donald Trump, even though he won.
Yeah, that was the thing. But we should have known it, though. Every poll we put up, he won. Like, who's going to be QB? Who's going to be QB1 for 2016? Right. Donald Trump in a landslide.
Who's going to start a quarterback for Denver? Donald Trump.
Yeah.
So there you go.
You know what? We're so stupid. We had it
we
all
saw
along.
It. Yep.
He won every poll, and anything negative, she won.
it's
crazy.
Yeah, this is not a well liked lady at all. And but I agree with you, Tone. She should have brought her ass downstairs last night, and she should have stood in front of those people and took her medicine. If she had to cry a couple tears to get it done, she should have did that. But definitely,
that really put a bad taste in my mouth.
Like, definitely a sore loser move.
That really put a bad taste in my mouth. That whole thing, and that made me actually feel good about what happened last night. Like everything that this lady, you thought that she was about, she is, and that's the crazy part about it. That's who she is, and it's crazy that you had these two choices, the presidency, and nobody. And I'll stick to this 100%, and people are going to be excited about Donald Trump. Nobody voted for Donald Trump. Nobody voted for Donald Trump. They just voted against politics.
Voted against
the
system.
And they told people, yeah, we're tired of this. We don't want people that are 30 years in government and nothing changes and the same things keep happening. We want to believe that there's going to be change, and we want to put a guy in there that basically, you know what, we don't know what he's going to do. We have no idea what's going to happen. The guy's crazy, but hey, I know what this other lady's not going to do, change anything. Everything's going to be the same thing that's always been. So let's give this guy a shot. In 4 years, we can get rid of him if we have to. People look at it, right? This country was built on people getting pissed off and leaving another country, right? Mm-hmm. That's the foundation of this country. So people get pissed off over the next 4 years. It's been there before. There's checks and balances in place. And all those other movie stars, none of them have gone to Canada yet. I keep waiting for real estate to go down, but none of them have gone to Canada yet.
You know, Tony, you make an interesting point. It's like, this country was built on us being pissed off and leaving. So was this network.
We're going to take a quick break.
By the way, Tony,
we'll
before we go to break,
yes,
I did find, and maybe if you want to go over this, we're talking about early scene projections gone wrong. On Roto Experts in the summer, I did my guide to round one of your fantasy football draft, who you should pick at every spot in the first round.
Wow, the king is sticking. He's taking his junk and he's throwing it on the table, and he's going to tell you his predictions. Many guys won't do that. They go and hide them, they destroy them, and they erase 33,000 emails. Scott Engel keeps every single one of them. Stay tuned for more from the Roto Experts in the Morning.
Ooh.
Welcome back to the Roto Experts in the Morning with the King, Scotty Engel, and of course, our guy, the Fantasy Executive. And now we're reviewing all the mistakes that were made in the election of president of the United States. We had all these polls that were wrong. And then we're thinking about the fantasy football community and saying, hey, what the heck going on here? We had stuff that was wrong. But I'll tell you right now, I got to ask you, Scotty, what was the first round in the Roto Experts exclusive Edge package? What a King, Scott Engels, a personal views.
This is my guide to the first round in the draft kit. Draft package back in the summer, the final update coming on August 29th, and I gave reasons for every pick, who you should pick at every spot and why, leaning towards PPR and basically a 12-team format. I'll give you who I picked it at, recommended to pick at every spot. It's one of my most popular articles every preseason, and you know you guys can ask me anything you want about it. My first pick recommended was Antonio Brown.
All right.
That's chalk, but of course it had to be. Second was Julio Jones. Third was Odell Beckham. Fourth was Todd Gurley. Fifth was Ezekiel Elliott. Sixth, A.J. Green. Seventh, DeAndre Hopkins. Eighth, David Johnson. Ninth, Adrian Peterson. Tenth, Allen Robinson. 11th, Dez Bryant. 12th, Brandon Marshall.
Not bad.
Yeah,
so I did have Gurley four, right though. On. Yeah,
yeah, but the most part, you were right there. Now, Scott, when you went and you put together these first round rankings, you looked at it and you did it pretty early. In that, how often do you change it when you go up to the first week? And what would be some of the reasoning to change some of your rankings?
Sometimes, you know, it might be something I see in the preseason. I tweaked this article like 2-3 times. And I gave the complete reasoning, like a full paragraph, on why you should pick every guy at every spot. And, you know, but Gurley, I said, like, it came down to a tough decision between him and Elliott, but I hadn't seen Elliott on the field yet. And Gurley, I quote this, Gurley is a workhorse running back who often still posts very good totals, even in lesser offense, and with extra defensive attention, he is special like that. Sometimes, but I also respect, you know, the opinions of guys like yourself and Corey, and you might say something that I said, you know what, I didn't think about that, and that might trigger me because I have respect for other people who do this at a high level in this business, or I might read something, you know, from a beat reporter or an NFL insider, or I might just see something, you know, that could change my mind.
The beat reporting was terrible. The beat reporting was terrible, was and has been terrible this season.
I think it depends on who you read.
I'm disgusted with the Buffalo Bills, with the Buffalo Bills media. Disgusted with them.
Why do you say the Buffalo Bills media?
Sammy Watkins. What did we hear?
Yeah.
May, it was foot, should be ready for the start of the season. June, progressing well, no setbacks. July, no setbacks. Training camp comes, no setbacks. He looks good. He's ready to go. He starts rising up draft boards, no setbacks. Everything's fine. He's good. The first Sunday of the season, you wake up, not a Bills reporter, but Adam Schefter breaks on the first Sunday of the season that Sammy Watkins, his foot Sammy Watkins has a tired foot and could end up on the IR at some point in the season. And nobody in Buffalo, right there with the man, was able to put two and two together.
No, it's kind of crazy. And we see that time and time again. And a lot of people like to talk to the beat reporters. And we had a ton of them on, Scott, in the morning. We were having, one from a team.
It was mandated.
Each day. And yet, I don't remember if it was, Scott. What do we have? We had one or two on each day.
Well, yeah, we had some good ones. There were a lot of ones that were on point. We had a guy from Philly who was really, really good.
We had a guy that a lot of them liked muffins, Scott, we found out.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, with the beat reporters, you can look at them as, like, fantasy analysts, too. They're very good at what they do, but they're not going to be right all the time either.
But you got to get to – when you have a situation where Watkins is let's just pound for pound, when healthy, the best player on that team, the number one piece of that offense. Rex said they want to get him involved more. He has his foot. He has an off-season foot surgery later in the offseason than he probably should have. I think it's irresponsible that they did not know that this kid's foot was in worse shape than what they were saying and what the team was letting on. Somebody in that locker room should have been able to get in Sammy Watkins' ear and got the truth out of him. The beat writers in Buffalo ran Marshawn Lynch out of there. I don't know. I think personally they did a poor job.
When you're a beat reporter, though, I mean, you go on what the team is telling you.
But you can develop relationships with players.
You can develop relationships. You know, so like ultimately, you can't. And I know this from you know, being in baseball clubhouses that, you know, you hear certain things, and like I said, with fantasy analysts, some of these things are really on point, and some of them are not.
You look at the situation. I mean. With so many, look at our boy Jason Braddock. When he said Arian Foster not going to play this week, Arian Foster didn't play that week.
Right.
He was breaking stories like that because, I'm quite sure he possibly had a personal close relationship with Arian Foster or somebody on Arian Foster's crew. You know what I'm saying? Apparently nobody in Buffalo can get close to Sammy Watkins. That's my soapbox because it hurt me.
Personal.
You know what's the fantasy executive all fired up this morning. You know what's crazy is I guess a lot of times when we're on Sirius XM they used to get a little crazy about what we could talk about, what we couldn't talk about. And so I guess I don't know if I could have made my Hillary Clinton comments on Sirius XM how I believe that women didn't like her and that they didn't want her in. And it seems to be gaining traction on Twitter. We've got a couple tweets. It says, 100% correct. Hillary Clinton, not what women want to represent us. Pathetic political and private choices equals unworthy of president. And also, just to say it loud again, Merry Christmas and God, what a day. Lock her up still.
I mean,
I don't want the lady.
I'm sorry, guys. I don't mean to interrupt, but something is starting to... I just can't. On Twitter with this morning, with like some of our regular listeners... I don't know how this is happening.
What's wrong?
I am getting so many questions about people with quarterbacks on bye week, including Jim Martell, the last one. How am I getting so many questions? People saying, I'm on a bye week. I have luck on a bye. I'm getting these quarterbacks. Should I get Cutler? Should I get Tannehill? Should I get Wentz and Mariota? Nobody's. How is Marcus Mariota on all these free agent lists? I don't get it.
That's a great question. Maybe they play an 8 or 10.
No,
eight
these are not. I'm
weeks.
Getting them in Roto Experts email advice. I did the chat last night, and I kept typing. You know what? I wish I had a rubber stamp for the chats because I would just keep rubber stamping two things. Marcus Mariota should not be on the waiver wire. Jamison Crowder should not be on the waiver wire. And I could also stamp a third. CJ Fedorovic is way better than anybody else that's out there on waivers. If these three guys somehow, Tony, are on your free agent list, I'm sorry to interrupt the flow of the show, but how are these guys on free agency? I don't get it.
We're gonna come back, but first, maybe these players in these leagues have a head injury, and the guy that's our expert on injuries at InsideInjuries.com, Dr. Anand Lalije. Dr. A, welcome to the Roto Experts in the Morning.
Thank you for having me. I came into a screaming argument here. Wow.
Scott was emotional. He was emotional because of the quality of quarterbacks on the waiver wire. So he was very emotional about it. Scott's a very passionate individual, Dr. A.
Well, I can appreciate that. Lots of injuries to talk about, though.
Yeah, one of them is Ben Roethlisberger, where head coach Mike Tomlin, woke up one day on Monday morning and said, you know what, Ben Roethlisberger might not be 100%. I thought it was the understatement of the world after watching him play, but as from a doctor's perspective, how far along can he be, and how long should we be concerned about this?
So, we were very low on Ben Roethlisberger last week. As you know, we had him at high risk and below average in HPF, and we basically said do not start. And for three quarters... it's exactly what it looked like. You know, he was slower. He couldn't move around. You could even see visible limp a little bit here and there. And again, it's the same thing. You know, in my opinion and the algorithm's opinion, you know, there is a percentage of chance that, you know, he does pull out some points, but, you know, I think he escaped, you know, injury in the last game. And the algorithms, again, are still listing him currently as, you know, 26% injury risk and a 53% below average rating on his HPF. So he is still a do not start on our books because he's so far before his optimal recovery time that it's saying our algorithms are saying that it's virtually medically impossible. At some point, he is going to re-injure or re-tear or tear or injure another body part, because he's just not anywhere near his optimal recovery time for the injuries that he sustained.
Very interesting. Dion Lewis is maybe projected to return this week. Doc, you know, is he going to be ready for this week? And what can we project from him? What kind of role is he going to play in that offense? Or by your calculations on InsideInjuries.com, you know, what kind of role can we see for him?
So, if you guys recall, you know, he tore his left ACL in November 8th of 2015. And then what happened was is that he had two subsequent surgeries to actually repair damage. And now if you guys, I don't know if you guys, you probably have heard that he actually suffered a patellar stress fracture during that time of that injury. So he actually had a second injury on top of the ACL, which we didn't know until last week. And so, you know, just for the people that aren't in medicines, you know, when you have a secondary injury in addition to the main primary injury, it really, really negates a lot of the rehab is longer, the likelihood of recovery is longer, and there's a risk of re-injury that's a lot higher. And so, even though he resumed practice last Thursday, it's in a very limited role. You know, his IRC, his injury risk category, is elevated at 18%, almost on the border of high risk, and his HPF is below average at 57%. So in our books, he is a risky start if he does play, and he likely will be significantly limited in the role anyway. They're not going to throw him in on every single down like he's healthy. So he's a risky start here. If you have someone that, you know, that can replace him on your roster, we recommend that you do, because he's what's called a avoid if possible.
Hey, what's up, Doc? Rawls is on waiver wires in a lot of leagues. Do you think owners be safe picking him up, or what's the latest with Thomas Rawls?
So Thomas Rawls had he had the fibular fracture, in week two, and he hasn't played since. He's already ruled out, I think, for week 10, I believe, versus the Patriots. And so, he's currently at an elevated injury risk of 20%. Again, very close to high risk, and his HPF is below average at 52%. And so, he is a risky start, avoid if possible. The interesting thing is running backs with ankle and fibular fractures, you know, these things don't heal in the middle of the season, you know, and it's really about pain management. And so there's a really high risk of him re-injuring that fibula, especially, you know, if you think about running backs, they get pounded, they get hit everywhere, and they have to cut. And if they're not able to cut, they become sitting ducks. And, you know, so he's at a risky start in our books, and, again, avoid if possible.
Speaking to Dr. A from InsideInjuries.com, and, of course, he's a board-certified orthopedic sports radiologist, and among other things, he's the foremost expert when it comes to fantasy football. They've built a team of experts to give you everything you need to know, and they're, of course, working on other sports as well as fantasy football, Dr. A, right? You're taking this to the next level.
Yep, we're going to go. We're launching NBA in the next 3.5 to 4 weeks. So, we have a lot of cool stuff planned. Other sports have different types of injuries and different positions. So, and everything can be accessed on our app if you go to Google Play or App Store. We've got a lot of stuff, a lot of cool stuff heading our way for our users. Soon we'll have an offensive line health because that's a huge important fact, you know, to running backs, actually to everybody probably on the offensive line, but most commonly the quarterback. So,
You know, one of the guys that's most talked about and a lot of people have held on their bench for 10 weeks now is the New England Patriots running back Deion Lewis. Your expectations, does he step right in and be able to play, or are they gonna have to limit his touches and his carries in that offense?
I think in the next couple of games, that is almost definite that he's going to be limited. I would actually be surprised that he's in this next game. I was projecting him to come back in the following week, but even when he does come back, I don't think he's going to be. I think, from medically speaking, and based on our algorithms, he should be at least 2 weeks away from taking full reps in a game and playing like normal again, essentially. So, yeah, I don't think he's coming back full-fledged this game or even the next one.
Andy Reid has said there's a good chance that Spencer Ware should be back this week. Can we be comfortable getting him back into our fantasy lineups?
Okay, so concussions are the enigma of everybody, right? Because it's not like someone sustains a grade one concussion and like, okay, boom, we know what the optimal healing recovery time is for a concussion. Every player is different in regards to their clearance of concussion protocol. And Spencer Ware is one of these guys where he hasn't cleared concussion protocol yet. And so, if he does clear, then he's a definite start on the fantasy rosters, obviously. Obviously, if he doesn't clear, he doesn't play. But if he does clear, he's at a low injury risk and he's above average right now. They're probably waiting, like our algorithms are waiting to get him to peak health once he clears concussion protocol. So the answer to your question is that if he clears concussion protocol, he's a start.
Dr. A, I guess there's a pair of running backs, Tevin Coleman and Doug Martin, that owners are waiting to put back in their lineup. What's the status of those two gentlemen moving forward?
Okay, so, they have, almost the exact same injury. Doug Martin a little bit worse, but, hamstring strains in running backs are, like I've always said, it's a really big, impactful type injury because of the cutbacks as well as the explosiveness once they get the ball. It's all hamstring. That hamstring muscle really is the first muscle that contracts to create that speed. And so, he has currently what we're showing is an elevated injury risk and above average HPF. He is what we designate as a cautious start. If you've got another number one that's got better numbers on our app, then we would recommend starting them. But for now, Tevin Coleman is a cautious start. He's recovered to a certain amount, but he's not yet hit his optimal recovery time yet. Doug Martin, his injury is actually worse than Tevin Coleman's because he actually re-injured that hamstring, and that's actually a lot worse than just the original injury alone. But the good news is that he's had sufficient amount of time to start that healing process, and our numbers show an elevated injury risk, but he's at an above-average health performance factor. So again, both of these guys are at cautious starts, in our book. That means you should start him, but, unless you have another number one that's got better health numbers than he does. But, he's not like a risky start or do not start. He's sort of one notch below a definite start in our book.
Dr. A, I'm on InsideInjuries.com, and you guys claim since 2014, your algorithm has analyzed 2,022,583 data points, but most impressive is your accuracy on injury risk, 68.3%. That's better than all the pollsters put together last night in that election.
A lot of people beat the pollsters last night, right?
So you guys, you're a lot better on the injuries than they are predicting the President of the United States.
Well, if you think about it, we're pulling data on 3,000 players in the NFL six times a day. And so we're analyzing every single guy, even like the third string guy in the back of a team's lineup. We're pulling that guy too, just to see what his numbers are. So yeah, I mean, big data does not lie, and so we definitely need to look at data more and more in looking at injuries because there are some patterns and stuff that we can predict.
We're talking
great
about
great stuff, folks.
Go ahead.
You were talking about Tevin Coleman and Doug Martin. I think with guys like that, we know we shouldn't start them right now. So I want to go to another guy like that with James Starks, not as to whether we start him or not yet, but what is the timetable you believe in? When do you believe we can get to a point with James Starks where maybe we can start him again?
So right now his numbers show that he's at elevated injury risk and he's not yet back at peak health. He's above average, and you're right, he's a cautious start in our books right now. For the injury that he sustained, a torn meniscus, and he actually had surgery on October 16th, typically it takes about 4 to 6 weeks for that thing to optimally recover. And so I would say that, it's still probably 2 weeks before he gets back to optimal health, and that HPF slides up to peak health again. So, yeah, about 2 weeks.
Great stuff, guys. Head over to insideinjuries.com. Check out Dr. A and his team of experts. They've got some of the greatest names in the business. And, of course, they're putting everything together. So all you have to do is just sign in, and they make everything happen. Dr. A, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, he's absolutely getting it done there. They've untracked and covered over 172,000 injuries, Scott Engel. That's a lot of injuries.
Yeah, it is. And, hearing some, like, the thing on Roethlisberger was definitely, like, something that, we haven't heard from the beat reporters. He's at risk for re-injuring it again. Tomlin can say he's not 100%, but to hear from Dr. A that he can re-injure it again makes you think that if you're Roethlisberger that, you want to have another good alternative holster. Because a lot of times, a lot of fans just say don't carry a second quarterback, don't carry a third one, et cetera. So that's an alarm to me. And also, they have two articles on rotoexperts.com this morning, a waiver wire version of an injury version of the waiver wire recommendations. And also, as we mentioned, three reasons why Jimmy Graham is a top three tight end again and overcame those injuries.
Before we head to break, Corey, I'm not very intelligent on these injury matters.
Yes.
How do you feel about them? Like, do you know a lot about these things?
I mean, I don't really know very many people in the medical field outside of Dr. Roto. So when it comes to injuries, I kind of do my own personal analysis. I read, the writings and the reports, stuff like that. I think Dr. A was did a good job right now. But, Tone, I'm indifferent to it. I try to avoid injuries, put it like that.
Yeah, so my thing is that there's a lot of groin pulls in the National Football League, and I was wondering if they had the same issue in the WNBA.
Probably not. I don't know. That would probably be, if you get a strain in that area and you're playing in the WNBA, that's probably like I don't know, man. I wouldn't know how to maybe Donald Trump, our new president, will have more information on that.
We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll break down everything you need to know in fantasy football. What went wrong with the prospects in fantasy football? Or did they come out the same as election? You listen to the Roto Experts in the Morning. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to the Roto Experts in the Morning. It's the King, Scott Engel, and, of course, the fantasy executive. In the hour number three, we're going to play How Well Do You Know Your First Ladies? That will be something, I think, fantasy executive, that will bring a lot to the table.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see how that one turns out. So, looking forward to seeing how well we know our first ladies. I don't have a first lady tone. I'm single. Yeah. Fantasy executive is single. I don't have a first lady.
What about you're auditioning them?
Yeah, I have open tryouts.
Open tryouts.
I know
currently
he's got somebody special. I know who it is.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Scott's being a wise guy, Tone.
I'm just telling you.
Let me ask you a question, Scott. Based on Dr. A right there, would you say that Ben Roethlisberger is a guy that you would sell high on based on our doctor's recommendations that this could be a reoccurring injury? Like, would you go with the doctor's gut and trade him?
I don't know if you can get a lot for him coming off that performance. You know, he gives some great insight physically to the injury, saying he could re-injure it, etc. If he has a good performance this week, I don't think right now you can do it, but if he has a good performance this week, but I'm not confident in starting him. I have him in one league, and I'm trying to decide whether to go with Andy Dalton or Kirk Cousins instead.
Really? That's interesting. How do you feel, Felix, to see Zach? How would you go about it?
I'm a Ben Roethlisberger owner, and he was my only quarterback on my roster, so I'm going to be mixing and matching, going to the waiver wire, checking to see if guys drop a quarterback that I could scoop up right quick for the stretch run because I'm worried about Big Ben.
Yeah, and here's my dilemma in one league. It's like I have Cousins, and I picked him up because I feel like he's going to have so much volume down the stretch, but I don't like him against Minnesota, so I'm going to have to carry three quarterbacks because I got to use Dalton this week. So I got to cut either Tyler Lockett or Thomas Rawls.
Tyler Lockett.
I don't know. I think Lockett's going to bounce back this week, and if I cut him, I might regret it.
I would love to see the day you put him in your lineup, Scott. I would love it. You have enough coverage to put Tyler Lockett in your lineup in week 10 when we're starting to get down to the money
time.
Depends
on what league we're in. I mean, if the Greenwich Street Tavern League, I might have to. And that's understandable.
You know what's crazy about that is Fantasy Exec, you go head-to-head with the King, Scott Engel, this week.
I thought I already lost to him last week.
Yeah. I wasn't aware I was playing him.
Oh.
I think you play him this week, yeah. Are you going to take him out this week?
It's going to be tough. That team is in shambles. But we're going to have to beat somebody at some point, or else I have to live with that for a very long time. So, playing spoiler right now in that league. So, you know, hopefully I can get a W somewhere down the stretch. I don't want to go out like Hillary Clinton. But if I did, I would thank my supporters for following me. Thank everyone for showing up to the polls. We did win the popular vote, and I would I would go out with class and grace. I wouldn't hide in my hotel room.
Yeah, you don't want to be the Cleveland Browns of fantasy football.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There you go, right there.
Yeah.
What are the Cleveland Browns of fantasy football?
If you haven't won a game yet.
Oh, really? Yeah. So do you think, what are the odds that they go 0-13? I already know the fantasy executive predicted an illogical victory on Thursday night, kind of like some nut job winning the president. Same kind of odds there. What's your thoughts? Fantasy executive says they'll win Thursday. Can they go 0-16, Scott? Put a percentage that they go 0-16.
Yeah. I have to look at the schedule. To really determine that. I just don't want to do it off the top of my head.
Oh, my God.
I'll have an answer. This guy yells at me the other day for not backing things up, and now he's God.
That's true. We come back. The final hour of the Roto Experts of the Morning. The King Scott Engel, he's going to look things up. The fantasy executive, he's auditioning things. Stay tuned for more of the Roto Experts in the Morning.